Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you came by today. Happy Friday. Today is recap day. Today we talk about all the things that we talked about all week. But before I step into that, I want to enlighten everybody a little bit about something that happened very recently about a young man who excuse me, lost his life in a Georgia gymnasium at a school. And I'm going to read this story just so everybody has something to think about, and we'll keep an eye on this, because now there is a second investigation going on because the parents did not accept what was said to them. The parents of a Georgia teen found dead inside a rolled-up gym mat are hoping the release of a surveillance video from inside the high school will help them understand what happened to their son. A judge on Wednesday ordered that the recordings be released. The parents of Kendrick Johnson, age 17, are urging that a new investigation be launched because they believe foul play was involved. Johnson's death inside Lowndes High School in Valdosta, Georgia, in January, was ruled an accident by both the original coroner's report and a state police investigation. Authorities in Georgia said that Johnson had got stuck inside the wrestling mat while reaching in to retrieve a shoe. His body was found the next day. The medical examiner's report concluded he died from positional asphyxia. Johnson's family never believed the initial investigation and feels the release of the surveillance video is one small step towards proving his death was no accident. It's still a long battle, and we have a long way to go, but this is a start, Johnson's father, Kenneth, told the ABC's news reporter. Footage from the high school security camera showed Johnson walking into the gym where other students were playing basketball. The judge also ordered the school's entire case file about the incident to be released, including the names of the minors playing basketball and any others who were in or near the gym. It feels great. We are just one step closer to finding out what happened to my son, Johnson's mother, Jacqueline, said. A U.S. attorney watching the case is expected to comment today. School officials insisted there was no foul play and that Johnson's death was a tragic accident. In May, the Johnsons received permission to exhume their son's body and hired their own private medical examiner to conduct a second autopsy. Anderson's four-page autopsy report, released in August, shows that Johnson died from a blow to the right side of his neck that appeared to be non-accidental. The Johnson family attorney sent the autopsy findings to the U.S. Attorney for Georgia's Middle District, the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, as well as local authorities. State investigations told the Johnsons at the time that they stand by their investigation and would not reopen the case. Now, all of this news is disheartening, to say the least. On one of the side clips of this, there is a picture of this young man's dad trying to squeeze his body into the middle of a rolled-up mat, which I think all of us with any common sense in our heads know is impossible. Those mats are incredibly heavy. And first of all, you'd have to be, you know, like one of the Fantastic Five to be able to shrink yourself down or squeeze yourself in to a wrapped-up or rolled-up mat. But one of the other things that was in another, well, there's a video that goes with this that I don't want to play for you this morning because it's repetitious, but at the very end of the video, after they exhumed this young man's body and did an autopsy, on top of all of this, that they want, they have fed to the parents of this 17-year-old and want them to swallow. Some of his organs were missing after they exhumed him. And as a side note, it was stated that they expect the funeral home is responsible for that. Good God Almighty, what is going on with us? First of all, that respectable, responsible, professional teachers and a law organization in this relatively, I guess, small town in Georgia would believe any of that story and expect the parents of that child to believe that story? This is something we're going to keep an eye on. This is something we're going to pay close attention to because I'm going to be interested in seeing exactly how this pans out. It's been all over the news. And the other insult to the injury is this happened at the beginning of this year. And we're in our 11th month today. So it took all this time for this poor family to sort through all this red tape. This is a bigger travesty than some of the other things that makes the headlines day after day after day. I don't know what everybody's thinking. Let's open up and bring Shelley in so we can discuss a little bit about this case, and then we'll move on to the recap for the week. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Rainey.
Well, what do you think of that story?
Wow, that was I have a bunch of different reactions to that. I'm not even getting surprised anymore. It's actually turning into just complete, I don't want to use the word anger, but frustration with the way people in authority positions look to protect businesses or people's reputation instead of just, you know, surfacing the truth. And,
yeah.
You know, what I don't understand, because this happens over and over and over and over again, I don't understand why people can't learn by what happens with other people. Hiding the truth is always going to bite you because the truth will surface. It may not surface for a week or a month or a year, but it surfaces. And when it does, it makes the perpetrators look even worse. You know, if something happened, own up to it and find a way to fix it. Be proactive so that it doesn't happen again. If they see on the school video that some boys were responsible, as far as I'm concerned, that has to be, like you said, who can stuff themselves in the middle of one of those mats? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. If that young man was found there, he didn't get there on his own. And even trying to perpetrate a story like that is ludicrous as far as I'm concerned. But instead of doing a real investigation and they're just stonewalling, when the truth comes out, it makes the school look even worse because they had to be privy to some of the same facts that are going to come out. You know, it's ironic because I don't really watch much TV anymore. But last night I was working on something, and depending on what I'm working on, I like having the TV on in the background, and I was doing some paperwork, and a Law & Order episode came up, and, you know, we've discussed before that most of the Law & Orders are based on true stories. They may change the names or whatever, but they're based on things that come out of the criminal records. And the show last night was very much about what we're talking about. There was this college campus where there was a particular fraternity. They were called the rape house because these boys would, during hazing of the girls, would get sorority sisters to go over there, and they would select one victim in each quarter to be gang raped. And this one girl got gang raped by three of them, and they were really good-looking boys. So nobody believed, you know, well, why would so-and-so have to rape this girl? The school would not investigate it. The school security told the girl to go ahead and take a shower before the police got there, and there's no problem with that. Get herself cleaned up. So they ruined the evidence. And, I mean, every step of the way, the school was so concerned with not ruffling the feathers of these sorority boys because they were all pledges. Their families were on the boards and high contributors. They were more concerned about not ruining these boys' reputations than dealing with this violent crime that was done on these couple of girls, and one of the girls ended up committing suicide. And it wasn't until after she committed suicide, not being able to handle being treated like the person who had done something wrong, that they finally, the police got involved and ended up finding out what was happening. And it had a just ending because they did finally get enough evidence to go after these boys, but not until the one girl committed suicide. Until then, everybody was just putting up a blind eye. The school was covering things up. It was ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
But this really happens. You know, the point is it was a fictional story, but things like this really happen, and that's where they get these stories from.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I've seen that Law and Order as well. They're always on late at night when I'm trying to fall asleep, so I've watched that one before. I think that... For one thing, why do people lie? People lie because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble. People lie to save face. People tell stories about other people to take the attention away from themselves. There's all kinds of reasons for lying. But what is hard from, and I get that. I get that if you're guilty of something, you're going to lie to keep your butt out of trouble. That's not so difficult to understand. What's difficult to understand is how something that could, like this, could happen. Just like the bullying, just like the movie The Bully, and the kids that get picked on, and the teachers or the principals that walk up, and very No, there's almost a self-righteousness about them because they don't feel like it's their fault. And in essence, it isn't their fault. They are not the ones that hurt this young man. I would hope that there was nobody there that was in a position to stop it. I mean, other than the other kids who could have stopped it. But I mean, No responsible adult was there when this happened. God, let's hope we don't find that out. So why, I mean, they just make themselves look stupid. They make themselves look like, oh, my God, are you really in charge of something? You really and truthfully believe that a boy that is the size, I mean, they show pictures of him. He's a good-sized boy, that he could squeeze himself in to the middle of a rolled-up Matt, what in the hell are you talking about? What if they just find out that they were messing with him and put him in the mat and rolled him up? Now, let's think about that. If something like that happened, I have to say, wouldn't you notice one of those giant mats that was bigger than all the rest? Or that appeared to be a different size than all the rest after you walk in there 80 times a week? Something is very, very, very fishy about this whole story. And the poor parents, like I said, it's taken them 11 months to get anybody with balls enough to stick up for them. And I think that hurts more than anything.
Now, they got a private investigator. Who made the motion to exhume the body and do a secondary autopsy?
The parents got the body exhumed after the original.
And then they got a second autopsy then. See, so this is what I'm saying. Why did the first coroner miss that? It's almost like they were given a directive of what findings to come up with.
Who knows? But the first coroner diagnosed it as asphyxia.
Right, but accidental. What about the mark on his neck? There was no mention of that by the first coroner, evidently.
Right. Well, he said something. I'm not on that page anymore. But he said something about their. Read what he said. when he said that first, because there was a particular word that he used that makes me believe that they're trying to say that his neck was bent. It says, the original coroner's report in the state police investigation was ruled an accident, and authorities in Georgia said that Johnson had gotten stuck inside the wrestling mat while reaching in to retrieve a shoe. Now, first of all, you don't reach in with your whole body. That's number one. You reach in with your arm, and your arm is just about the only thing I can imagine halfway fitting. His body was found the next day. The medical examiner's report concluded he died from positional asphyxia. So, positional, that's a pretty, I mean, that could mean any number of things. The way his head was lodged in there, it was bent. The way, I mean, again, they show the dad, they show a picture of the dad trying to fit in to the middle of a mat, and there's just no way. So, I don't know. We will keep an eye on this story. This is really all that's there. I've seen it on the news a couple times in the last 3 or 4 days. But they had the video. They have the video on this website of him just walking in the gym, and he's a good-sized young man, and there doesn't seem to be in the video. He's walking along the outside of another group of kids. And then there's a video of him walking in the hallway. So I don't know, but something obviously is not right. And even, like I said, even rolling up, I mean, I'm trying to remember maps, and it seems like there was that real thick, heavy rubber stuff. But I guess you've also got those, like, almost like beanbag mats, and it doesn't say what kind of a mat it was. I suppose there could be some differentials here that would make this more feasible, but I don't know what they would be. So, but we're going to move on because I want to recap the rest of the week, but I'll keep an eye on this story and keep everybody posted as to what ends up happening. But our hearts go out to the family of this young man because I don't think I'd swallow that story either. So, on the same site that I went to, there was a story in regard to starlets and celebrities and things like that who have died from drug addiction. And because we did so much conversation this week about that, I thought we might touch on that. But when I opened it up, it didn't really give me a lot other than a statement from one of these young people. They tried to make me go to rehab. I said, no, no, no. Yes, I've been back. But when I come back, you'll know. These lyrics are from the Amy Winehouse song that she wrote and sang before she lost her life. And it's almost like some of these young entertainers, their lives get rolling so fast that they don't seem to be able to stop it, and I think it's a shame, but I also understand what the deal is here. They just, their life moves too fast, and they can't keep up with it. So it goes along with most of the stories that we talked about this week. On Monday, we opened up the show because I've been trying to help somebody who is struggling with a teenager's addiction. And it breaks my heart because they are still struggling with what to do and how to do it. And we talked about the fact that only a few places will include detox along with the recovery. And after researching, we found that in a lot of cases, though, they ask the parents to deliver their teenager. It could be anywhere from 13 to 17 to a rehab center that is very cold, very uncaring, and just a very cut and dried detox center where they're kept in a place where they can't get out and get any more drugs, and they just detox. And they do keep them fed, but from what I understand, except for some rare occasions, they don't give them anything to help them through the hard parts. So it's a tough thing to do, and I don't know if any of you out there have ever detoxed. It doesn't necessarily have to be a detox from hardcore drugs either. Sometimes just detoxing from a bad lifestyle is very, very draining. And you don't just detox the bodily parts. You don't just get rid of the toxins that are in your body. You get rid of some of the toxins that are in your head that brought you to that place to begin with. And if you don't have a place to empty that and a place to talk and a place to share what is going on in your head, that stays there. There has to be a release. So consequently, when they're going through a detox, and I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a doctor in any way, shape, or form, but I'm also a person that's been around a lot of people that have struggled a lot of times with a lot of different scenarios. And if there's one thing I know for sure, people have got to be able to talk about what's going on in their lives and share it with somebody who at least has a good ear. You don't have to have anything profound to say to them because there is nothing. But you do have to be able to listen to help them get rid of the things that are in their head. And we found out that for some reason, adults get more of that than the teenagers. So we've been struggling with that all week. And very sadly, I've had kind of a crazy week. So I do have some more research to do, some people to call, and I've been unable to. So next week, we're going to move on with some of this story and give out some information that I hope can help people if you're in that same spot. I think I have Daniel with us. I'm going to open him up this morning in case he would like to enter into this conversation. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, dear. How are you?
Good morning, Daniel.
Morning. How are you?
Doing real good. Thank you.
Good, good. I just wanted to say, you know, something I really love about this show is that you have always, even off the show, provided that that shoulder, that listening ear for personally myself and a lot of other people. And the show focuses on so many different issues that affect all of us. And if not us directly, someone else we know. And so I just wanted to, you know, do a little promotion for those that are listening. This show is a testament to someone who really knows how to listen. And without giving a partisan, partisan response, but gives their life and life experience instead. So thank you so much, Renee.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. Sweet, what a nice
You're
way
very
to end
welcome.
My...
Well, I just wanted to say two other things. I know that I'm going to be brief, but the two topics you talked about, I missed the last show for the show at the beginning of the week, but you had posted on Facebook about that you had recently learned about these young people who, unfortunately, which I have to concur, you and I have had conversations about the goals of Trail Initiative and what we're trying to do, but it is unfortunate that individuals who have a drug addiction or any addiction problem are not able to receive any type of treatment or services until they are in a place where they are detoxed. So that goes around in every single arena of service. We're talking foster care, we're talking medical, we're talking law enforcement. You know, police officers don't even deal with their the person that they have detained until they are at least in a space where they seem aware of what's going on. You know, so it's unfortunate, especially when you have anybody, but especially when you have a young child or a child who is a teenager, is going through the teenage thing, doesn't already have someone to talk to, and yeah, they've made a bad choice. They've made a really, really bad choice. But you kind of block every opportunity at that point for assistance. And when they really need someone to actually sit there and help them. And, you know, and so I just wanted to say that. And then I heard you talk about the story about the young man. I've been following that story as well, Rini. I rolled up in the mat. It just does not make sense to me. I remember, you know, playing in the gym on those mats. Same thing you're saying, a reach in is only your arm. Your whole body shouldn't even fit in there. I saw the footage and saw the video as well. And I'll tell you this, they did request the video from the school. And the articles I was reading all over different sources have stated that they, and this is a shocker to me, that how could they have not seen this, whatever, how he ended up in that mat on video. You know, it's a shock. If videos are supposed to be in school, and we saw the video of the gym. So How can they have not have caught that image out of all the tape that's supposed to be continually filming? How could it not have been on there? That's one thing. Next thing is, what happened to teachers counting students? In high schools that I have subbed in, still do
it. That's a good question.
You know,
I mean, they do that in school regularly, I believe.
Let me tell you, no matter what school you go to in Broward County, Miami-Dade, or Palm Beach, the teachers could count students during a fire drill. And you know what? You're going to do attendance twice if you're a great teacher. Every time a child leaves the room, you're going to mark it off. If you can't account for your children, then maybe you shouldn't be teaching. You know, and maybe that's not the right position at the school for you. You know, and I understand that. People make mistakes, of course. And I'm not saying that I haven't, but come on. What if the teacher's telling their children, and okay, if the child was there and you didn't see them, and you know, maybe you went to the bathroom, but by the end of class, and gym is a pretty long period, so in high school, you know, so if this student, you do not see coming back from the bathroom, you know, it's up to that teacher. So there are a few things that I think are very unclear. I think that the school needs to start protecting themselves as well. But I think they need to start being honest about their faults. And I think that everybody has a role in this. The students that were in the room as well, there's no student that didn't see him by those mats. You know, we clearly saw in the video that where the mats were in the corner of the gym, the left corner of that gym, you know, if we saw it by video, and they're big, they're large, they're stacked up, there's no way that no student, I'm sure that students even sit on it and are being told to move off of it, you know, and move on to a bleacher. So there's no way that no one didn't see this young man. And I think the parents are doing the right thing. You know, they didn't have to exhume the body, but they want to know what happened to their child. And, of course, it's hard to not lay any child down, but to take them back out from resting in peace is one thing. And I think they're doing the right thing. I think they need the comfort. But I think there's more to this story that hasn't come out yet, and I'm sure we're going to find it out soon. So
I
just wanted to say those two things.
Yeah.
Okay, and one more thing that I wanted to mention. I will be, you know, I was very, last time I was on the show, very, very open about my opinions regarding the government shutdown. Well, the government has reopened, and there are a lot of individuals of all different parties, registered voters and citizens, Americans, that are very confused at what the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare has to offer. There are a lot of questions, and rightfully so. I am personally hosting a town hall, Affordable Care Act town hall, in Broward County at one of our Broward County libraries. The flyer, I think I sent it to Urini already, that on Facebook. But that date is actually going to be, yeah, that location is going to be changing. And I will be having panelists. We will be having navigators. Each county has navigators, and our organization that is set up to know, you know, exactly what they've been trained to know exactly how to sit down on the site, even though it's deaf right now, and or answer any questions, you know, even through paperwork that any family, individual, student, young person, business owner, senior has, and really sit with them one-on-one. Our navigators are the Epilepsy Foundation of Florida, Broward County. So I have this executive director, good friend of mine, Mary, coming out. I also have the mayor of Broward County who had agreed to come out. She was very avid in telling Governor Rick Scott that owns our own health care, our health clinics. So when he said that he's going to make sure mandate that navigators are not allowed in those facilities. Our mayor said no. The citizens have a right to know how to do and ask any questions. We own our facilities. You can't tell people not to come into our facilities or who we can have walk in or not. So I will be having Broward County Mayor Kristen Jacobs. There's still some things that we have to, you know, work out with who will be on the panel. But Vice Mayor Barbara Sharif will also be there. She will be representing in a different capacity. She is the CEO of South Florida Children Pediatrics. So it'll be coming from the pediatric side of it, of how it will affect your children. And then I also have a representative from Get Covered America, and State Representative Elaine Schwartz. Will either be sending out a representative, or she may be attending as well. And then Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz will be sending out representation as well.
Let me ask you something, Danny.
Sure.
A lot of people aren't going to know any of these people. Tell us again, in a nutshell,
sure,
exactly what you expect to accomplish with a meeting like this.
Of course. Okay. There's a lot of questions. Everyone nationwide has a lot of questions on, you know, on the Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act. Will they lose this? Will they lose that? Am I allowed to take my children? How much will it cost if I also have my business? You know, if I'm making a certain income? They're all legitimate questions, and they all need to be answered. And right now, there are a lot of misconceptions going about what's true. So we're taking the federally licensed individuals, those lawmakers, and those navigators that have been trained to know what the new acts are. They've read it. They've been trained to do it. And we're also taking the health departments and individuals who register people for health care insurance, you know, and one of the insurance companies that are one of the insurances you can choose from, and bringing them out to the public so the public can ask them questions directly. Because there's a lot of confusion over what this allows an individual to do, if everyone can be covered, if there's a deadline for coverage and what happens after the deadline? Is it more money after or before? Do I have to pay or is it free? You know, there's a lot of things that everyone's asking, and a lot of us are doing this, but I have chosen to do it in a town hall type of a venue where anyone who is a resident, a citizen, can come out and ask their questions, get answers, you know, about how it affects them individually or their families. So the goal is really to answer questions for individuals.
You've already put something on Facebook. Let's do that again with the new venue and the times and everything.
You got it.
And Shelley and I will both share from our Facebook so we get as many people as we can in regard to that. And as the date approaches, you'll call the show again, and we'll make announcements so that everybody knows. And the public is welcome, right, Danny?
That's what I wanted to – yes, next thing I was going to say, of course the public is welcome. That is why I'm hosting this town hall. It is a free event to anybody who would like to attend. Yes, open to the public. There is no cost for the event. As it is, I want to say, a public service. People need to know about coverage, what they're able to do and what they're not able to do. So, and what's being offered. So that it is a free event open to the public, of course.
Okay.
So, of course, I will post that later on today. Is there another show today?
No. Just today.
Oh, just busy rainy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but this is good, and I think you're right. I think there are a lot of questions in regard to all of these things and a lot of misunderstandings. And one of the things Shelley and I have talked about at length is the fact that we need to be trained. We need to understand, and you can't get that from bits and pieces from an article. You really have to, you have to be able to pay attention and to see what everybody is talking about so that you're, that's what makes smart consumers.
Yes, but the most important thing, and I'll be brief, is of course that, but the most important thing is that you have all the area, everything that will be working together, every entity that will be working together, your elected officials, then you have the citizens, you have the insurance company, and then you have the people who are helping you sign up for it. You have everybody at the table, and, they're all going to be answering questions that to benefit the public. You know, so if there's any misconceptions, you actually have the people who are creating the laws, who are training the people who create the laws, who are signing people up, and who are implementing them, and that you're signing up with insurance companies. So you have all those different entities at the table from the start to finish of understanding, okay, this is the law that was created. This is what it's intended to do by this time. Then you have the elected officials who say, hey, this is what's being said. This is what actually is going to happen. Then you have the individuals like the health department who say, hey, when you walk into our facilities, you're going to find your navigators and your doctors. And they're going to suggest to those individuals who don't have a lot of money that the clinics will still do the same thing. Then you have the insurance companies who are going to be at the table, who are going to say, hey, this is exactly how we're going to do it. They mandated that we have to be this price. Well, us and our competitors are out there. One may be more, one may be less, but it is affordable. And then you have the people who sit down with you and actually sign you up. So it's from start to finish, answers all the questions. And, of course, if no one is there, there's going to, if all your questions are not answered, and you may not want to do it that one day, you may still want to go home and think about it. There will be representatives from each agency, each entity from start to finish, who will make themselves available to you at a later date. We've ensured that. So, I'm very happy that, I'm able to do this, I have the support, and it's it should happen anyway. So, I'm just one of the people who are doing it as well, because I'm only hosting one town hall myself, you know. So.
Well, and I think we all appreciate the fact that you've opened up that door for many of us, and I do think this is a big question out there. And of course, if you know, everybody's concerned about their future, Danny. Today,
right.
It doesn't seem to matter how old you are or how young you are.
Of course.
You are concerned if you're paying any attention to what goes on in the news, what happens in Congress, the fact
That's
that
right.
our leaders are so disheveled and so unorganized frightens all of us to an extent. We will support this with you. Shelley and I and Renee's Heart to Heart is happy to support this, and you keep us posted, and we'll keep following through
with you.
Well,
if you like, we'll put you on the flyer, too, because, you know, you can maybe even be the media partner for this, so I would appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah, so, I'd be happy to do that, honey. Be happy.
I will put you on the flyer. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
You're welcome.
Hey,
have a great day,
Dan. You know, you too, guys. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Let us know
care,
if
Danny.
We can help with that. Bye, sweetie. We dropped. I don't think he actually hung up. I think he dropped the call. But he's an energetic bunny, isn't he? He's like the ever ready battery bunny. He has so much energy and is so focused about so many things. I wish we knew more young people like Danny who have worked relentlessly and met many, 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 many challenges and still gets up and dusts himself off and starts again. So I'm very proud of him.
Do you recall, is there already a date set for this town hall meeting? Did he say that?
There was, but I think he just announced that he's changing that date, so that's why I asked him to post a new one. He posted something on my Facebook page like 2 weeks ago, so I was aware of it. But we'll wait and see what he posts, and if he doesn't, I'll call him and make sure that I have all the information.
Okay, great.
And let's see. Let me get back to where we are. Okay. So we did talk
right, now
about...
Now, just so you know, in about 3 minutes, you're going to lose me. It's almost like clockwork. Every time we hit about 15 minutes of conversation, I can't hear you anymore, so I have to hang up and call back in. You don't lose me. I just stop hearing you. So in about 3 minutes, look to see if I've hit the one to come back in because you don't seem to type when I go away.
Well, because I was on another site. I wasn't on my dashboard. Reading all that information before. So, and I did a little bit, I wanted to talk a little bit until Danny called in. Now, I'm just going to mention a few of the names of the site that came up about all the young entertainers and stuff who have taken their own lives. And one of the things I wanted to mention is one of them goes all the way back to 1965. So this is not a new problem. And, of course, we have Elvis Presley, we have Michael Jackson, there's Dorothy Dandridge. These are really a long time ago. And then newer, of course, is people. And Judy Garland, she was another one who was hooked on drugs and alcohol. Whitney Houston, who was 48 when she lost her life and to drugs. But Heath Ledger, there's a whole bunch of them. And most of them made it through the teen years, but that's when their drug use started. And they have money, they have clout, they can get into places that will help them, and they still have this tremendous struggle. So the reason I wanted to bring them up is the fact that it's not just about what you can afford to purchase for yourself in the arena of good care and good health care and good mental health care. And yet we have teenagers out there today who don't get any help. So I want everybody to be aware of that very dark line that is drawn between people that can afford to get any kind of help that they need and they still don't make it. And then we have all these young people and they're younger every day, who get no help whatsoever. So they don't make it to 45.
Right.
They don't make it to almost 50. They succumb in the teen years because there's no help for them because of insurances, money, and what's available to a teenager. So we need to think about that, and that needs to be fixed somehow. Maybe if you and I go to this meeting about Obamacare and all the other things that are going on out there, maybe we can be heard in regard to this. We also talked on Wednesday about the laser, the cop that lasered the 20-year-old girl who was on some kind of a spree of some kind. I watched to see if I could get any reports to see if she was under the influence of something and acting so crazy, or if they did a background check and found out why she was on self-destruct, two hit and runs and a DUI and all this kind of stuff. But they could have been 2 years apart. You know, when you get a story like that, you don't get the full thing. But the fact of the matter remains that, you know, this great big cop, instead of reaching out and grabbing her by the arm, which he could have done, that you could see very clearly in the video he could have done, he lasered her instead, and she fell forward because her hands were cuffed behind her back, and she ended up being in a coma for a very long time and being declared brain dead and finally succumbing to those injuries at a very young age. So we talked about that. We also talked about the great debate in regard to marijuana, which Shelley was at and gave us a really good summary of everything that she listened to, the pros and cons of medical marijuana, and we discussed that at length. And of course, we still have a lot of mixed emotions, I would say, in regard to what the deal is with medical marijuana and how to keep it structured, how to keep it safe, and how to have it in a place where it serves us instead of being a bigger problem. And I don't think that got sorted out. I think there was a lot of discussion, and I think the pros and cons are great. And at this particular point in time, they're kind of even Steven, wouldn't you say, Shell?
Well, the two debaters were respectful of each other and sort of even Steven. But what I noticed is that the majority of people in the audience, or maybe it seemed that way just because they were louder, it appeared to me that the majority of the people were proponents of legalizing marijuana. They were very loud, very emotional, and I think because most of them were probably using marijuana, like I said, I had heard some of the conversations around me, and there were people that were actively using it, you could tell. There were people around me that would boo Kevin Sabat, Dr. Kevin Sabat, who was the man against legalizing marijuana. He was against legalizing it in general. He's not against medical marijuana. And that was something that I had mentioned the other day. But he's against just legalizing it, he said, because it's just going to create other issues. It is a mind-altering drug, and for people not to realize that, they're not looking at it for what it is. It's a substance that affects how the brain functions. It's hard for me to say what the split is, because I was very quiet, so there might have been other people in the audience that felt like me that were just kind of taking the debate in and hearing which side went which direction. So it was difficult for me to kind of I happen to have been sandwiched between several people that were proponents, and they were very, very emotional about their views. And I chose not to engage them because I knew that my viewpoint was very different, and I didn't want to get them upset because we were sitting right next to each other. So I chose not to engage the conversation with them. What I have noticed about the people that are proponents is that they're very single-minded. And understandably so. I'm not saying that as a criticism. I can imagine, this is why I gave such a far-fetched example, but if somebody had cancer and they believed that chemo was the only way to get healthy and they heard that chemo was being made illegal, even though you and I know that would probably be a good thing because chemo is counterproductive at best, okay, but if somebody believed that, they would rail against it and they would rally to keep it legal, okay? It's sort of the same thing here. I don't believe that medical marijuana is the best choice for most of these people because I've met people with the same illnesses that say they need medical marijuana because it helps them, that they would be able to recover more thoroughly without the side effects of smoking marijuana and things like that. So I don't believe that it is the answer, but I'm also very compassionate to the people that are using medical marijuana or marijuana in any way because it's not really available in the medical form here, so people are just smoking it. If they get relief and they've got cancer and AIDS and MS, my heart goes out to them because if they're not aware of these other options and they believe this is the best way for them and they are getting relief from it, something should be provided for in the interim until decisions are made to decriminalize it. That I agree with, and both of the men that we're debating agree with that, that in the meantime it should be decriminalized for people that have severe medical issues, not somebody that walks around with a headache all the time or a sore throat, but people that have these severe diagnoses and the quality of their life is diminished because of pain and things like that. And that everybody was on the same page with.
Well, and I think that that's where most of us, our heads are at when we think, when we hear the terminology medical marijuana, we're thinking of the story I told yesterday about the woman who was dying of cancer and had been through chemotherapy, and her pictures were heartbreaking. And we knew that she really needed some help, and I think there isn't anybody that wouldn't have said, please help this lady. So I think that in most cases, we all feel the same way about that, and we all want something to happen to help people that are in pain. However, I do think it's amusing to an extent when we talk about the fact that at this big meeting, I'm sure that the biggest proponents of the legalization of any kind of marijuana are the people who use it. I mean,
yeah.
I don't participate in the use of marijuana. I know many, 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 many people that do, people that would probably shock some people if they knew it. However, I also believe that it is something that is private. And nobody's business if you're monitoring yourself with some kind of decorum and self-control, then I think it's your business, not anybody else's. But I'm a big believer in that anyway. I believe what goes on in somebody's home is their own business, and as long as they're
mm-hmm.
not doing
right.
it, then it shouldn't be any of mine, and I don't want the responsibility of worrying about it, to be honest with you. I have enough things to worry about. So,
remember one of the statistics that they gave out is that the more than 80% of people that use marijuana use it like social alcohol drinking. It doesn't make them irresponsible. You know, they smoke it from time to time. It mellows them out. It's like having a glass of wine. Most of the people that use marijuana don't have a problem with it. They don't abuse it. They don't get addicted to it. They just like to use it socially, like somebody having a glass of wine with their dinner. The issue is for the 20% that abuse it, that become criminal, that get into car accidents, that get so high, they don't have all their faculties about them, and they get behind the wheel of a car. They gave statistics of how many car accidents are caused by somebody who's high and things like that. Somebody going onto a job where they're handling machinery and they go into work and they're high, because it does slow your reaction time down. It mellows you out. You're not sharp. So if you're driving a car working with machinery, you can injure yourself or others. And they gave statistics of like how many on the job accidents were actually caused because somebody was high at work from marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like I said, just like with alcohol, the majority of people that use marijuana do it in a responsible way. And these laws are for the people that abuse it, and that's why they're not just ready to jump in there and legalize it without any restrictions.
Well, and I think all of that is true. I do appreciate though the statistics that come into things like that, because it helps people that aren't involved at all make educated decisions if it's left up to us as a majority to do a vote on that. But do you see that happening? That being being passed by a majority of voters of the public, or do you see that happening privately in the jurisdiction of our government?
It is going up for public vote. That was one of the things they were talking about, that there is a bill. I didn't hear the name of the bill or when it's being voted on, but there is a bill. They're still working on the language of it right now. So there's a ballot that's going to be coming up soon in South Florida to be voted on. It is going to be voted on by the public.
Good.
And there's a lot of petitions going on right now. And there's petitions on both sides, by the way. Like I told you, I wasn't aware until the end of the event, but the host of the event, which is the Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition, they're actually against the legalization. They handed out a 2-page flyer there with all these statistics on it as to why it should not be legalized. And then there were other factions there. They were handing out petitions saying why it should be, So you had both sides of the issue going there. But the one woman was telling me, the woman who was sitting next to me, said that, because she asked me where I got my flyer from, and I said that I was recently at a Palm Beach County Sheriff's event, and they had a table there, and they were handing these out. And she thought that was funny. She didn't realize it was being handed out by the coalition who's against it, and that's why they wanted people to attend the debate. Because she said that she was recently having petitions signed. She got 65 signatures in one day, which I thought was impressive, to legalize marijuana. And some cops approached her, asked her what she was doing. When they saw what she was doing, they searched her boat to see if she had any contraband on her boat because of the nature of the petition she was signing. So I thought that was a little interesting that the police took such a stance with her the minute they found out that she was pro-marijuana, and they just made the assumption that she probably had some.
Pretty Gestapo-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, she thought that was pretty funny. She said that she definitely felt intimidated by the police, and so I thought that was an interesting turn of event.
Did they find anything on her boat?
Nope.
Good.
No.
Well, I think it'll be a sign of the times if we get to that point, but I also think it's going to be something that has to be incredibly monitored. And since we can't, at this point in time, monitor the pills and the any of the stuff that's going on out there that's being abused, I don't see it as being an easy task to take on.
Well, see, the one thing I don't understand is why the government, and I know we're running out of time, I don't understand why the government is just approving it, like, in general and allowing all these unregulated dispensaries to pop open. I agree with Dr. Sabat in that if you're going to legalize it, have it administered through a government-run agency then, or like a pharmacy, all right? Make it a private business, but have it make it an official business like a pharmacy. A pharmacy has all kinds of rules and regulations they have to follow. So if medical marijuana is, in fact, supposed to be medicine, why is it being sold through the cash-only deals at these backyard farms that are called dispensaries? That's where there's no proper regulation and enforcement being done, and I think that's actually causing more of a problem, not solving the problem, because now everybody and their uncle can get it if they just complain of a headache.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm saying. We have trouble with that on almost every level. Somebody
right.
figures out a way to do something for that that feeling of, I don't know, whatever that is. I don't know. I don't understand it myself. But we're out of time. I want to wish everybody a great weekend. I hope everybody had fun yesterday. I did not have one trick-or-treater except for family, and they ate the whole bag of candy, so I guess that's okay. So everybody, God bless. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you Monday morning, bright and early. Bye-bye. Bye, Shel.
Bye, Renee. Bye, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend.